Graham, you weave parallel dimensions into the book Entangle. Tell me how you do it and why.
Yeah, I think that for me, this is the heart of the mystery. We are very focused on the material realm, on our world, our earth. We see a flow of time running through it. We tend to conceive of time as an arrow that runs from the past through the present into the future. We see cause and effect as operating along that arrow-like path. And although we may imagine, and we would be right, that there are other planets out there in the universe circulating around other stars that may also be filled with life, we don't really think beyond that. And this is an area that I've tried to delve into in Entangled, which brings together the latest research in quantum physics and the deepest thinking of mystics and shamans throughout the ages, that our world is interpenetrated by, surrounded by at all times, and directly affected by, whether we like it or not, other realms and dimensions that are normally invisible and inaccessible to our senses and also to our instruments, so that although we simply cannot see them most of the time, and for that reason we just don't believe that they exist. But this is the cleverest hiding place if you can persuade people that something does not exist. You know, for example, the very interesting and growing phenomenon of UFO sighting.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a huge issue. We're all aware of the sightings around the world that have taken place in recent days. And there's just no doubt we have a gigantic phenomenon here. And perhaps the most important phenomenon that has ever occurred in the entire human story. But I think that we may be jumping to a conclusion which is not based on evidence when we make the decision that these sightings and these phenomena are simply to do with other creatures, perhaps even a bit like us, from other planets far away across the universe, who have mastered a high technology that carries them physically from one place to another. It may be that, but I think we should be open to another possibility, and that this is that these visitors are interdimensional visitors, that they come not from the same physical space as us, just very far away, but from another kind of space altogether, from what quantum physicists call parallel universes or parallel realms. And this would explain to me the elusiveness of the UFO phenomenon, that it's very difficult to pin down, that often all we get is the faintest trace on a radar screen or something seen which then vanishes. I feel that what we may be looking at here are visitors from other dimensions, and that the flying saucer, rather than being a machine for conquering interstellar space, may be a device for crossing the veil between dimensions.
Almost like a time machine?
Almost like a time machine, because time is another dimension, if you like. It may be an illusion. One of the extraordinary things that I've found while I was writing Entangled is this was very spooky for me as a writer, was that I would a notion, a concept, an idea would come to me as I was writing, and I would put it down on the page. For example, our archaic cousins, the Neanderthals, play a huge role in my story. Now, it's been the case for a very long time that we have looked down on the Neanderthals. The very word Neanderthal has become a noun in our culture, which is used to signify an ignorant, brutish, thuggish person. But it seemed to me, and this is how I described the Neanderthals in Entangled, that they are not like that, that they were compassionate, loving, caring creatures filled with light and joy. I also saw them as having red hair, and I also saw them as interbreeding with humans. All of these ideas, when I was writing them down, were not accepted by mainstream science. But within a year or so of writing them down on the page, as I was telling the story, I started to see scientific reports which were confirming the very things that I was saying. That here suddenly we get information that the Neanderthals did have red hair. Then 2 months later, the Neanderthal genome is sequenced, and we discover, lo and behold, that science has been wrong all along, and that the Neanderthals and humans were interbreeding back in the Stone Age. In fact, 4% of all modern human genes are owed to the Neanderthals, including, by the way, the gene for red hair. It turns out this comes from our connections with the Neanderthals, and the latest information, which has been widely circulated this month, is stunning new evidence that the Neanderthals were compassionate and loving creatures, evidence that the Neanderthals cared for the elderly and the infirm, the sick, even the blind in their societies, long past the point when they would have been capable of surviving on their own. So I got a kind of weird sense. I don't mean to give too much sort of supernatural authority to myself, but I got a kind of weird sense that as I was writing this stuff down, I was rewriting the past, because we just never knew the story about the Neanderthals. And the moment that I had put that idea onto the page, somehow it brought to life these hidden aspects of the past. It's quite a different process from my nonfiction work, where I would work from the science out into the story. In this case, the story seemed to work itself out into the science, and suggested that observations that we make now could actually change the past in some kind of mysterious and intriguing way. So, in my story, the Neanderthals play a crucial role. They are the light in the West. They are full of joy and love. And the demonic force, who I call Sulpa in the story, is seeking to mislead human beings into annihilating and wiping the Neanderthals out. If he can do that, then he will gain the psychic charge that will enable him to jump forward into the 21st century and weave the doom of all mankind. So the battle that my two heroines are fighting across 24,000 years of time is to prevent human beings from wiping out the Neanderthals. We know the Neanderthals became extinct, but it becomes crucial for the story that they do not become extinct because of us. And this whole idea of time, not as a straight line, not as an arrow, but as a series of cycles and spirals that interconnect and cut across one another, sometimes deeply entangled, tied in huge knots of time, is now being viewed very, very seriously by quantum physics. And there have been a number of recent papers in which quantum physicists have said, yes, it might actually be possible not only to affect the future by what we do now, but also to affect the past. And this suggests that the thing that we call reality is way much more mysterious than we imagine it to be, and that there are hidden realms and hidden dimensions to reality that we are only just beginning to grasp and understand.